sand to our feet. And we'll ask our brother if he would invite the presence of the Lord to be with us this morning.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this gathering of Christian brothers and sisters this morning in this place that's set aside for your worship and ministry of your word. And we pray, Father, that you will put your blessing upon this meeting this morning. Bless our brother Barnwell. As each one of us, Father, as we gather together, help us to receive from you this morning. We just ask that you be with us this morning in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. You may be seated. Could you give me your name one more time, brother?
Paul.
Paul? Okay, I shouldn't forget that. I have a brother named Paul. I'm very bad with names. I never forget a face, but I'm very bad with names. And however, when I was in 10th grade, I had a chance to meet the Vice President of the United States. They selected a group of us out of the school. And he sat, and we basically had some type of technique where we went around the circle. There's 12 of us, and he asked us our name. And then the rest of the time, we spent like 2 hours talking with him. And every time he'd look at us or point to us, he'd call us by name. And it was remarkable because a few years later, after I went through college, I taught school. And the first kids I remembered were the A students because, they were kind of the kids that, they came up to you every day after class and talked and stuff. Then the bad kids, I remember them because you had to deal with them on a daily basis. But it took me almost till like a week or two before school was out to remember all the names of all the kids. And so I'm very bad that way. But God bless you. It's good to have you here. If we'd turn to 225, Holy Ground.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. We are standing
surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear sound of angels' wings, I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the sound of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Amen. Number 40, when I look into your holiness.
When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you, Lord, I worship you, the reason I live. I worship you, Lord, I worship you, the reason I live is to worship you. When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you, Lord, I worship you, the reason I live is to worship you, I worship you, Lord, I worship you.
Time we're going to change the order of service to prayer, and we want to continue to pray for Brother Vail with his eyes, his strength, energy. Also that, you know, he sits every day with really not a whole lot to do other than to think, and his mind is very active, very good, but he needs to be engaged, and you know, his ministry is not over. He's still having a great influence on brethren around the world, but we just need to pray that the channel that God has for his ministry will continue. And we're working on ways to do that. We bought little projectors that we're going to be sending out around the world. And one of these days we're going to start having 15-minute sessions with Brother Vail on the table and broadcasting that around the world. But we want to keep him in prayer that I believe he's going to be here till the change of the body, till the return of the saints in the resurrection. And so, because remember, Brother Branham, when in his vision, he saw a old man down the floor talking to the people. He was still up in another dimension, up here someplace, and he was trying to get down there. And the angel of the Lord showed him the little room, and he noticed people coming in, halt and lame and everything else, but coming out on the other side completely whole. The angel of the Lord said, "Watch the resurrection in there." And Brother Branham said, "When I get my tent, I want to take about 6 weeks, which is close to 40 days. It's 42 days. So biblically, that's be about the same time as the resurrection was in the Alpha. And he said, I want to go between the lines. I want to take the word and go between the lines. So so I believe Brother Vail will be with us till that time. And but we want to keep him in prayer that he would feel useful. Because even as Paul, you know, in the last, Paul, before they actually beheaded him, he was put in a kind of a solitary confinement. He was not put in a prison. He was actually put just home confinement. But the saints came to him, and they do that. Brother Vail has quite a lot of traffic coming through. So we just pray that he'd have energy to do that, but also to expand that and begin to communicate again with the brethren around the world. Now, there's another prayer request I have. This brother here, Brother Baruz, I received these pictures back about 4 years ago. These brothers, there's 8 churches in Iran. The brother that I met in Kenya, he came to my meetings in Kenya. He had actually established those churches in Iran. And he gave me pictures back in 2006 of some of the brethren. This is Brother Baruz. He's a minister, and he's right now he's in prison in Iran. They've been interrogating him. He's been beaten, and several of the Brother Youssef has been beaten. And I'm not sure if this Brother Youssef here, but I know Brother Baruz is in this picture as well. And then I'm not sure who. Maybe I should hold it a little bit slower so you can see it. But these brethren are believing the message, and also this is another picture of I guess this is a young minister that he's now a minister, but he was a very sincere, very dedicated young man, came to the Lord as well. And just keep them in prayer if you would, because they're suffering a lot. The government actually came into the church, began to beat the minister and arrested the people, and then basically they shut them down. And then what happened was they continued in the home, and when they found this out, now he's summoned to their court. He could be beheaded or whatever, because in those Muslim countries, they do not allow Christianity. In fact, when we sent materials into Saudi Arabia, we had to send it between the System 32 files. We had to bury it inside. And when I sent discs over, I sent them between, when I was working for Children's Hospital, I sent Children's Hospital envelope with all these medical journals, and inside I put a disc, you know, saying to Dr. So-and-so, because he is a doctor, and the brother over there. And so he was able to get the doctrine and the message into Saudi Arabia, and we still get hits from Saudi Arabia. Then he moved on to Kuwait, and then we still get hits from Kuwait, and then he moved on to Arab Emirate Republic. So he's been able to get the message into three. He's a physician, top physician from India, and he's been able to get the message into three of those Muslim countries. And we still get hits today from those countries. So there's people that he was able to share with, and you know, people are looking for a prophet. You know, they in the Muslim countries they have a dead prophet, Muhammad, who wasn't much of an example for living. You know, he's his and. When they hear of a man of God like Brother Branham and the life that he lived and the exploits, the supernatural that was brought forth in his ministry, they can receive that. They can receive that. So keep them in prayer. It's very difficult having to meet maybe only a family at a time. That's what they're going to have to break down to, is just to get a family at a time to meet, and because they can't have their big meetings anymore. And there was quite a number of students actually across the campuses of Iran is where the message broke out. And and of course, you know, students are usually pretty open-minded, and they were willing to receive, you know, and they were looking for something other than the stiff law, you know. And then when they found Christ, they were very happy. So we want to keep him in prayer especially, and Brother Youssef, because they're both, Brother Youssef has not been released from prison yet. And so we want to just pray that, you know, the angel of the Lord would be there to protect him. And then I got a letter yesterday from Colombia, Bogota, Colombia. And the brethren want me to come down to dedicate their church. They've been open since, for 35 years now. However, it's the dates are conflicting with my trip to, I'll be in Zimbabwe at that time. We have meetings in Congo Republic, Congo Democratic Republic, and Zimbabwe. And so I won't be getting back until the 14th, and then the meetings down in Colombia are the 12th through the 15th. And it wouldn't make sense for me to hop on a plane and fly all night and then get there and for one service and have to return home again. So I told them we'll have to take a rain check on that and, you know, some other time. But so just keep them in prayer as well, because the pastor down there, when I spoke in 87, he said, you know, we believe that Brother Branham's coming back for 20 years. But he said, we're not ready. We're not ready. And he said, but what you preached on the adoption, he said, that will get us ready for the resurrection. So we just want to pray that that message will get out. When I brought that out in Mexico City in 2008, that actually, the DVD from that went all over South America. I got calls from Venezuela. Brother is very excited about it. So that's basically what I feel that God has turned our attention to right now, is to getting ourselves ready. You know, the scripture does speak of manifested sons, and we as sons of God must manifest who we are. And you know, the Bible says when we shall see him, we shall be like him. And so so that's where we're at. And so we want to pray for all these meetings and the brethren. Brother Ken Hall has invited us to come down a week from this coming Friday. And then we'll be going down to Arkansas as well sometime in June, and also to Arizona and California. There's believers out in California that we'll be meeting with as well. So we've got a lot going on. And but I'll try to be here the Sundays. So I might have to do some midweek travel. But just keep me in prayer, you know, for energy and strength as well. And also Brother Adam, he's been sick with the flu and different allergies, and we want to pray for him. And anybody in here that's suffering from allergies, I know how you feel, so I can enter into prayer with you. So at this time, Brother Peter, would you take these various requests before the Lord?
Lord, we thank you for this privilege of being able to meet here today to hear your word. Brothers and sisters around the world desire the same, Father, and in some countries it's very, very difficult. We're very thankful for in the spirit, and we know what that is. And Lord, we just pray that your hand be upon these brothers in the Middle East, where it's very difficult in these Muslim countries, Lord. Inspire them, give them the faith, the word that they need to overcome, Father, so they too will manifest the same, regardless of the environment they're living in, Lord. Father, you know what they need, you know what they can handle, Lord, and we just pray that you Father, and Lord, we listen to them all over the world, Lord, the word is breaking out more in Latin America, Father, and we pray that the meetings that Brother Brian is going to, Lord, that your hand be upon them, and that you use them, Lord, for your perfect will and spreading of your perfect word. So, Father, we have other requests to you, Lord, and that of Brother Rayo, Lord, and his health, and Lord, his ministry, Father, and point in time in his life and in his ministry. Father, we also pray for those with allergies and other illnesses and things. And we know you're the great healer, Lord. You're the great provider. And we just put these requests before you in faith, knowing that you said, just ask. And Lord, we are asking. And now, we give you the praise and glory for all things in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial like strains it unceasingly falls for my soul like an infinite calm. Falling down from the Savior above, sweep over my spirit forever I pray. In fathomless billows of love, what a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul. So secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, falling down from the Savior above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love, I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and His glory is flooding my soul. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, falling down from the Savior above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. And methinks when I rise to that city of peace, where the Author of peace I shall see, that one strain of the song which the ransomed will sing, in that heavenly kingdom shall be. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, falling down from the Savior above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love.
Amen. At this time we have a special. Sarah? seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. By bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen, Brother Steve. Ron would come forward at this time. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the abundant blessings that you continue to bestow on each one of us, Father. And we ask you now to extend those blessings to this time and offering. May all that's given today be for your glory. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let's all stand to our feet and we'll sing the Angel of the Lord's favorite song.
Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Now that you're here, Jesus, you're here, Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Just remember that, but the fact is that when we were there, the brothers came up to me afterwards, and they told me, they said, you know, we learned how to read our Bibles in these meetings because you know, people want to read their Bible like to, just to get through it. You know, you hear these guys on the radio talk about, you know, read the Bible and, you know, read through the Bible in 1 year, you know, and that kind of thing. And you know, to me, it should take you a year to go through just one book in the Bible if you read it correctly. We took 2 years to go through the book of Romans, 142 sermons on the book of Romans. And so, you know, that's God's thoughts. And if it's God's thoughts, then we just don't want to brush through them. You know, I know as a husband and not the best communicator, but sometimes, you know, the wife will be talking and you just kind of, you're passing through the room and she's talking, you just keep walking and you walk out. Well, you know, that's not really right to do, and I confess that on Mother's Day. I'm sorry, honey. But, but you know, the fact is that when we have God's word to us, those are his thoughts. And we shouldn't brush through those thoughts because it means something to him. And if we would just take one thought at a time and just let our hearts meditate on that one thought, you know, it's life. Jesus said, you know, the words are life. They're spirit and they're life. And he said, my Father's commandments are not grievous, they're life. And so that's the way we should approach the word. We should approach the message that way. We should approach the Bible that way. And so that's what we do. And by God's grace, it's opened up a tremendous amount of insight into the mind of God and what he's doing in this hour. So I'd like to pick up at paragraph one, where Brother Brown said, oh, that's fine, brother. He wants to say about this, that's just it. Brother Ed, that's what it is. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And I like that old test. Now, the car radio is hooked up. What this here is for here. Everybody feeling good now? Well, now we'll start right in now until midnight, and then we are so happy that the Lord has helped us and blessed us. Now, before we start again, let's just have a little word of prayer to the one who we're talking to. Now, remember, when you're reading Brother Branham's message, sometimes he begins to just talk, just to kind of catch the spirit, just like Jesus did the woman at the well. And before he begins to get to his text, you know, there's kind of a, you're actually trying to lay a atmosphere out to where you're looking for, and in your soul you're praying for an entrance into that conduit. And so that's what he's doing here. And so then he says, well, let's go to prayer, because actually when you begin to pray, you begin to throw everything off. You know, and so his opening statement was just kind of, okay, you know, we're here again. We've gone to lunch. You know, there's a few issues with the car radios. You know, we can get that taken care of. But now let's go to prayer. And so he begins to pray. And he says, gracious Heavenly Father, you hear the testimony of this godly, saintly old man. Down through the age, him and his wife, I believe he's talking about Brother Kidd, working together, and how that she had to hold on to you and beg you to make a preacher out of her husband, and here he is. And then when he was laying there dying, the best doctors in the country saying that he's gone, he can't live but a few hours, it's done, his body's eat up with cancer, he could never walk another step, the infection in his ankle and so forth has done him away, and here he is years later, still going. We're just so thankful, Father, it goes to prove that when the word is planted, then watered, it'll bring forth the crop. Now we pray, Father, that you'll let us lay out the words this afternoon from thy word. It is thy word, and we want to lay it out just the way that it is. And then you water it, Lord, with the Spirit. We ask, as we commit ourselves with the message to you, that you use it. In Jesus' name, amen. And now I would like to notice here, for you to notice here, that Brother Branham is staying very faithful to the theme of his message, which is from Genesis 1:11, which tells us that every seed must bring forth after its kind. And basically this means that each seed has within it the attributes and characteristics of the original seed. And every other seed that is produced off from that original seed must bear in its nature the same characteristics and attributes that were in the original seed. And he talks here, excuse me, in this paragraph about the crop that will not come forth. From the crop that will come forth from that seed that has been watered. So keep in mind here two things as he teaches. Number one, we're dealing with the life that is in the seed coming forth into manifestation. There's got to be something that will take that seed and bring it to the place that it comes into full manifestation. And number two, that manifestation cannot take place until there has been a watering that is used to bring the life in the seed to the place of manifestation of the life of the seed into a fully mature crop. So let's hurry along now with the introductions as we briefly read the next couple paragraphs, where he says, now to hurry up, my wife was telling me this morning about how hard the people, you know, and their legs cramping and things, the ladies and more people like myself getting a little older, and I have to stand around like that, and I appreciate that. I appreciate your loyalty. And now we'll get right straight back to the message and go on. I don't want to be in too big of a hurry, and yet I want to hurry up enough to try to get finished this afternoon if I possibly can. Then as soon as we're finished, we're going to right straight then to Tifton, Georgia, not for a continued meeting. We're at the high school auditorium for just one night. That's tomorrow night, and just a preaching service, and I'll have some ordinary little text or something I preached on right here, because it's just a visit with the people. They haven't got a regular a meeting or anything. So we left off this morning speaking on our text over in Genesis 1 and chapter 1, verse 11. Mainly, the spoken word is the original seed. And now my purpose this morning and today is to try to explain to the people, try to explain to people of my actions and now and why I have did the things that I have done. And realizing that these tapes are being taped and will be sent out, many people probably will be hearing them after I am away from here, if Jesus tarries. But I want to say that I believe the Word of God and that it is the truth. Now, we finished the first four paragraphs, and basically Brother Branham is just giving us an introduction. And in these paragraphs, Brother Branham begins to get down to business now. And what he's showing us here is that it seems like not much has been happening in the mission and evangelical field at that time. Things had dropped off. It was kind of getting, the big meetings, the big healing campaigns, everything else was just kind of, not that they were fizzling out, but there just wasn't the fruit that there was in the 40s and 50s. And so he offers some words of explanation as to what he thinks has taken place in verse 5. He says, "Now we left off where the last days, what's happened to the ministry of the evangelists, that a few years ago were just burning the country up and seemed like that all of them have just stopped. Now, I don't mean they're off the field. They're still going, but there's no results, it seems like. They're not getting anywhere. See, what's the matter?" He said, "The field's done been sowed." See, now remember and don't forget that. So what he's going to bring us into here in the next paragraph that we see is Brother Branham is going to talk about the former rain and the latter rain. And at this point, Brother Branham says, the latter rain has not taken place. That's the crop-producing rain. But the former rain is the teaching rain. And he goes in to tell us about how Billy Graham went out, the evangelical seeds were sown. Pentecostal, under Oral Roberts, those Pentecostal seeds were sown. And then his ministry was the Word. And those seeds were sown. All right, so now in the next paragraph, Brother Branham begins to get down to business, and he tells us about these things. And notice that he identifies what had to take place what had taken place to that point in the evangelism is that the main events had been sowing the word, all right, whatever version of it. That's what the great revival of the 40s and 50s was all about. Remember, there was those that said a million more in 44, all right. That's their seed, organizational seed. You see, then in the 60s something began to happen. Things begin to slow down. Things begin to taper off. The sowing had been done. As we read of in the first half of this sermon, where he identified the Pentecostals had sown their organizational seeds, and the evangelicals had sown their organizational seed, and the Son of Man had come sowing the Word. Now, we pick up at paragraph 130, and he says, all right, now, there has been three different kinds of seeds planted. A denominational, Billy Graham, he was a head planter. In other words, head knowledge, you know. Or Roberts for the Pentecostal, which is feelings and those kind of things. Pentecostal seeds have been planted. But I'm talking about organization now. So these two different seeds were actually one seed. They were organizational seed, one end of the scale to the other end. One was head, the other was heart. And so you have the full realm there. But organization. And then the word's been planted. And now you have to understand, folks, I ain't saying this no more unless God tells me to, but I want you to get a good, clear understanding. Three seeds has been planted. That's the reason the planting's just over, just about over, see? All over. Seeds must be planted before the rain falls, that's right. Or otherwise, the Spirit, now, you're going to disagree there, but hold on just for a moment, see? Seeds must be planted, and then the rain falls to water the seeds, is that right? Now, and I want you, is there anybody in here that understands Hebrews? Now, Hebrew words, all right, you look it up, if you want to. Now we're hearing so much in so many organizations and everything else talk about we're in the latter rain. Nonsense. So at this point, there was not latter rain going on. No such a thing. And something's happening. I can just see it passing before me. It's done caught the Spirit. See, amen. I know this is truth. It's thus saith the Lord by vision. See, just moving and coming. Can't hardly get looked down here. Every time I look, I see it just moving in front of me like and that and breaking off and move this way and move that way. I've been trying to watch some fellow sitting around down here look away and everywhere I look, It's like, there it is. See? All right, let's go back and try it again now. Be sure that I got it. I don't know what's exactly happening, but along that line. Now look. So Brother Branham is letting us know the latter rain has not happened yet. Now this is back in 62. Okay? And we know that there was a group forming in the late 50s called the Latter Rain. And they are now called the New Wave. They changed their name. And of course, that's the group that Sarah Palin has belonged to for the last 22 years. And so they identify with Brother Branham as being the originator, although he said he wasn't. But they claim that he was, because they're trying to push for, you know, the gifts and those kind of things. But what I'm wanting to show you is this. We have basically two rains. You have the rain that comes, you know, we have our April showers brings May flowers, right? So the seeds are there, you know, the planting's there. The early shower is what gets things, the ground prepared, gets things softened up, you know, from the hard winter rains that, you know, kind of are the hard winter snows, which kind of just freeze everything over. Those early showers, they kind of soften up, gets the soil ready. Well, that's what happened. Then they plant. All right, so that's the Mora rain. That's the teaching rain. That's the planting rain. So the message has been sowed. All right? Then there's a period of time where you see nothing happening. You plant those seeds, they're in the ground, and for weeks and weeks and weeks you see nothing. And then all of a sudden, something starts to happen. You start to see a little bit of a sprout, and it seems like things are going, growing very slow. Then along comes June, and you get the June rains. You get the latter rain. And what happens is, you know, by the time maybe that plant is you know, knee high by the 4th of July. But then all of a sudden at the end of June there, all of a sudden it just takes off. And by the end of August, September, you've got 6-7 foot corn. You know, so it just, something pushes that corn up, 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 up. And that's the amount of water that it gets. And so there's going to be, we're going to find out that this settling down, this seeming like nothing was happening, is because the word had been planted. The denominational word had been planted. The word of God had been planted. So you see, the planting's been done. But then there must be a watering of another rain that must come, a latter rain that will be what is called a harvest rain, in order to bring it into manifestation the life that was planted. And what I'd like to look at this morning is that this latter rain works in conjunction with the planting rain in order to water the life of the seed that had already been planted, in order to bring up that crop into fully matured planting of the Lord. Now we know the original seed was the firstborn son of God. And the eldest son is in a vast family of brothers, as we see in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, them he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Now, notice, those whom he foreknew are those that were in his mind before the foundations of the world. That's what he means by those he foreknew. In fact, in Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 4, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us," notice, "hath blessed us," past tense, so it's already been done, "with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, look, I know a lot of people don't believe in predestination, but let me just say this, that Brother Bram said, in that little acorn is every attribute, every characteristic it will ever need to produce a fully mature oak tree. All it needs is water. A washing of water by the word, so to speak. That's what we need. All right? So then he says, "with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him," when? "Before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame." That means totally justified, because to be justified is though you never did do it. Or as David said, "Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute iniquity." In other words, you did it, but as Brother Vail taught us years ago, but you just didn't get credit for it. You know, and that's one thing I'm glad I'm not getting credit for. And anyway, notice that we were in him, in his mind, before the world was even framed, to be found in a certain condition. And that is one that is holy. For remember, he said, "Be ye holy as I am holy." And if we are to be as he is, then it can only come as a result of our having the same seed life in us as was in him. Therefore, we are spotless and without blame, totally justified by what he did, not what we could do ourselves. And then we find that in this condition that we are found to be in at his presence, it says that we should be holy and without blame before him. That word is improsy, it means in his presence, or in his presence. Now then Paul goes on to say in verse 5, "In love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself." Now, when did he predestinate us unto the adoption of children? Before the foundations of the world, while we were just in his mind. And remember, at the same time, before the foundation of the world, the lamb was slain in God's mind. The eldest brother went, you know, to Calvary in the mind of God while we were being justified in the mind of God. So God had this all planned out, and Brother Branham said that what was in God's mind was just as good as when it materialized, because it has to materialize because it's a seed, and it's an eternal life seed. And notice, it was according to the good pleasure of his will. And not only that, but this predestination to the adoption of sons has some attributes and characteristics when he says next, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So we see that it's a grace that brings us into this condition, and nothing we could do ourselves, but it has already been predestinated in us before you even had one thought about it. That is why Paul says in Romans 8, for whom he did foreknow, past tense, those he already had foreknown, when, he tells us Ephesians 1, before the foundations of the world, he also did predestinate, past tense, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's why when I look at predestination, I see it in the form of a seed. You know, because you take a seed that's watermelon, you put watermelon in the ground, it's going to come up a watermelon. Everything in it is going to be the way that it's ordained to be. And so we see this predestination includes being conformed to the image of God's eldest Son and a vast family of brothers. And so then he takes us down the path toward the conformity, as we see in the next verse. Now, in verse 30, he says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Notice this is step one in our coming into the image of the eldest Son. And whom he called, them he justified. And we know we are justified by faith, and faith is a revelation. So whom he calls, he gives revelation to. And whom he justified, them he also has glorified. And we know that word glorified was translated from the Greek word endoxa, actually from the doxazo, or endoxazo, which means to manifest or express the opinion, the values, and judgments of God. In other words, we will have the very mind of Christ if we are to be conformed to his image. Now, we know that by having read the scripture this morning, there's to be a latter rain at the end time that will produce a manifestation or fruit or crop, as we see in various places in scripture. But what I want you to see in Romans, where we are taught that that this manifestation, what it's to be, we see that it is to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, because we have the same Holy Spirit in us that raised him up. All right, as Paul says in verse 11, Romans 8:11, and if you'd open your Bibles with me and follow along, Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, you understand that a mortal body is not one that's in the grave. A mortal body is actually a body that is capable of dying. So he says here that if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it's going to quicken this mortal body, this body that you are now living in, which is capable of dying. All right? So it's going to make it alive. Alive to what? Alive to the Word of God. Therefore, if we have been born into a body by one Spirit, because by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, then it's just a matter of one last thing for the manifestation of that life in us to take place. And that is the latter rain, or the harvest rain, that will produce that crop. And knowing this, Paul says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, that means to deaden, the deeds of the body, you shall live. In other words, Paul is telling us that we must die to self and get focused on what God has called us to. In fact, Paul says in Galatians 2:20, he says, you know, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I that's living, but Christ is living in me. So what he's saying is, look, he's saying, Jesus Christ died that you might live. Therefore, you must die to self that he might live again in you. All right? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you might cry, Abba, Father. So it's not a matter of fear, but it's a matter of life. That's why I'm totally against ministers who use fear from the pulpit to try to kowtow the people and make them all the same. Fear does not make you the same. The Word of God will set you free, and there's a liberty in the sons of God. Okay? he says, we have received not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we are identified with our Father, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. So what could you possibly fear when your daddy is present? I remember as a boy, we'd have rock fights, you know, snowball fights sometimes, and rock fights with the neighbors. And we'd be tossing them back and forth. I had three brothers, and neighbors up the street had three or four brothers. And we'd get into these rock fights. And, you know, sometimes you'd be afraid because, you know, some of those guys could pitch some pretty big-sized rocks. And, you know, you get hit, you know, you'd be fearful. And sometimes they just come up and they just start tossing them at you. But when my dad came out, I'd stand behind my dad. I was comforted because I knew that they wouldn't toss rocks at my dad. And even if they did, he'd block them from me getting hit. And, you know, our daddy's come down in this day. And he's come down to shield us from what's happening in the world. We see Christianity everywhere being tossed on its ear, so to speak, and being totally a target. And yet we know that before these churches are shut down, before the mark of the beast takes place, and before the signing of the pact between Rome and the Jews, we're going to be gone. So we can be thankful to the Lord that our daddy is here, and we can stand in his presence. And so it's relaxation time for us under the seventh seal. But then he goes on, the Spirit, now not just a spirit, but the Spirit, which means God's Spirit itself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, it doesn't matter if you bear witness with him. If you're not his kid, it's not going to do you any good. But his Spirit bears witness with your spirit that we're children. Not our identifying with him. But he actually came down to identify with his children to pluck us out from the oncoming storms of judgment. And if we are children, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. And again, that word glorified comes from the word endoxazo, which means having the same values, the same opinion, and the same judgments as he has. In other words, if you have your father's values, you have your father's opinion, well, then you have your father's mind. You see, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, with the doxa, with God's opinion, God's values, and God's judgments, which shall be revealed in us. Now, what does the word reveal mean? Well, it means to uncover. It means to come into manifestation. So you see, when we know that when he shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. We shall appear with him in the same opinion, the same values, you see? So his unfolding himself, the mighty God unveiled before us in this hour, has done one thing for you. It's made you know who you are. And you receive his values. You receive his opinions. You receive the mind of Christ, that the mind that was in Christ be in you. That's what's happening to the bride. This is the first day, the first hour. This is the first time in history that there's a group of people that have the mind of Christ. In its fullness, not just part of the word, justification or sanctification, but has a complete understanding of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then those things shall come into manifestation in our very life. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Notice it's been waiting a long time. There's been a time of patience, a waiting for the crop to bear its fruit and what to do. Remember, the husbandman is waiting with long patience for the fruit, for the manifestation of the sons of God. So you see, the fruit-bearing testimony it'll bear testimony. The fruit itself bears testimony to the life that's in the seed. And the fruit is the manifestation of the seed life. What life is in that seed, when it bears its fruit, you will think, you will without any doubt know that and be able to recognize what seed it is. In other words, I might see a little seed from an apple and a seed from a pear and not be able to tell the two much difference. But, you know, you plant them in the ground, and when they come to full manifestation, I can taste the difference between a pear and an apple. I can see the difference between a pear and an apple because it's in full manifestation. Well, we have to understand one thing. When the former rain went forth, the planting took place. All seeds took place. You have the word of God, that seed, which is gathered into his garner, and you have the other seed planted by the man in dark who went after the Son of Man went sowing, and he planted other seed, and Jesus said that seed will be bundled into, bound into bundles. And the word bound in the Greek means that they will be brought under obligation. In other words, it's an organizational spirit. It gets the people into the church, gives everybody a job. Everybody has something to do, you know, for the little kingdom here, you know, so to speak. And that's what they do. They build a church instead of preaching the kingdom of God. Okay? So it's a denominational spirit or a organizational spirit, and its mother is Rome. Now, the fact is that that seed lays in the ground until it begins to bring forth, and even as a little shoot, you don't know the difference. You know, you cannot tell the difference when it's just popping through the ground, if it's corn, if it's tobacco, whatever it is, because it's just a little green shoot. But as it comes into full manifestation, you do know. And it takes the water of the latter rain to manifest the seed, to bring forth into full manifestation, whether it's just sitting in the message as an organizational spirit, or sitting in the message as a true son of God who's identified with the Word of God. You see? And so it has taken the doctrine of Christ, which is the revelation of the Godhead and understanding of the Son of God to do this. Now, notice it's been waiting a long time. It's been a time of patience, waiting for the crop to bear fruit as to what it is and who it is. So you see, the fruit bears testimony of the life in the seed. The fruit is the manifestation of the seed life. What life is in the seed, when it bears fruit, it'll let you know exactly what life it is. And the sons of God can only manifest Son of God fruit, as the eldest of a firstborn son did. And that is through obedience. The fruit that actually identified Jesus Christ as the Son of God wasn't the miracles, because Jannes and Jambres had miracles. Balaam had miracles. You know, Simon the sorcerer had miracles. So that miracles had nothing to do with it. It was his obedience that God took him up. And as Brother Branham taught us in the adoption, he said that it's the Pentecostals where they went wrong is they said, well, you know, we are sons. We're baptized with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We're there. We've arrived. He said, no, you've got to be the right kind of son to be adopted. And the right kind of son is an obedient son about his father's business. All right. So if we're not about our father's business, then we're not going to be adopted. And there's too many people in the message that have just an understanding that God sent a prophet. They have an understanding that a former rain went out. And they've just stayed shunted. You know people that you've met, shunted 20 years in the message and didn't have a clue. And I've got letter after letter after letter from brothers in Africa all over the place, where they told me that until that little booklet we put out on the parousia of Christ, until they read that, one of them said, well, he said, I always wondered about that Ethiopian eunuch. He said, he asked Stephen to expound on him the Word of God, or Philip it was, to expound the Word of God. And he said, when he did, his eyes were open. He said, and I am that Ethiopian eunuch, because when I read your book on the parousia, he said, I never understood the message. I've been in the message 20 years, and I never understood what it was. Until now, I can see that God himself has come down. You see? Now what happened to that brother? Well, the light, the shower began to come, the latter rain, watering of the latter rain, so to speak. Because look, there's a sower goes forth sowing seeds, then there has to be others to come forth and water that seed. So you see, that's what we're talking about, is the teaching rain. Actually, because both rains are teaching rains. Did you know that? God said, my doctrine, where my teaching shall fall as the rain. All right. So the doctrine of God is rain. So it was a doctrine that was planted. But notice, and we're going to get into this in just a little bit, but notice the former rain came moderately. You notice that? Didn't say that about the latter rain. The former rain came moderately. All right. So though Jesus were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. And after 3.5 years of a tremendous obedience to God, God took him up to Mount Transfiguration. And you know, the first time God spoke, that the pillar of fire came down and the presence of God entered into his son. He said, this is my beloved son. He said, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. But later, after 3.5 years of complete obedience to God, then he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Now, hear ye him. And Brother Brown said, God stepped back and said, now my word is in my boy. He's in my son. He's now I've adopted him. He becomes joint, co-owner of it all. At that time, all power has been given unto me. You see? So he became co-equal with the Father. And that's why Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Because they're co-equal. You see? When Jesus said, I'm the Son of God, they said, oh, you're making yourself equal with God. Well, the oneness take that and they say, well, see, they had to be God because he's making himself equal with God. No, they don't understand adoption. They don't understand that when the firstborn son is adopted, he gets 50% of everything. You see? And in our case, Jesus had to he had to go to the cross so that, because, look, we have a father who owns, we call it 100% of everything, just owns it all. Now his son was given 50%. He was given all power, was given unto him, all authority. But now, see, when the oldest son was adopted, the other sons weren't adopted till the father died. Then the other 50% was distributed between them. Well, we got a father that can't die. We would have been without inheritance. So Jesus died so that we could become joint heirs with Christ. You see? All right, so I look at the death and burial, resurrection, and all this. I look at this, the fact that, look, God gave us part ownership as sons through the death of his son. And our eldest brother willingly went to the cross so that you and I could become joint heirs. All right, now verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of this body. So it is at this time of waiting and much patience, waiting for the latter rain to bring forth the manifestation of the sons of God. For we are saved by hope, but hope which is seen is not yet hope. For what a man seeth, why would he yet hope for it? But we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So, look, the farmer plants the seed. All right, the Son of Man went forth, planted the seed. The former rain was the teaching, the planting, and the rain, you know, got the soil all ready for it. And so that the word was planted. Now he's in a waiting process. He's waiting for the latter rain to come along, and the latter rain will come along and push up the crop into full manifestation. That's where we're at today. So we can see by Scripture that there has to be a people who will come into the manifestation as sons of God. And we know by the proper teaching of the Word that the manifestation of sons of God will be the same thing that manifested Jesus as the Son of God, our obedience to the Father in all things. And we see that at the time of the latter rain, there is to come a watering rain that will bring those seeds that were planted by the Son of Man under the teaching rain, the sowing rain. But it will take another rain to bring them into maturity and completion. And this rain or watering will not come from a vindicated prophet this time, as the sowing rain came from the Son of Man. But Paul tells us that the fivefold ministry is to bring the seed to maturity. This is the ministry of the fivefold. Ephesians 4, verse 11, he said, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Now, what is the perfecting of the saints? It's the maturing of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And how will it come? Till we all come in the unity of the faith. And remember, there's only one Lord and one faith. You see, even Brother Vell, after he preached, and he said, well, there's two Lords. And I knew he was upset because the people were saying he's preaching two gods. And Brother Bell told me after that, he said, you know, I shouldn't have said that because it caused a great stir. He said, really, what it is Elohim said unto Adonai. See, and there's only one ultimate Lord because, you see, Jesus is the head of the church and God is the head of Christ. So there's really one Lord, although God said, you know, the Lord said unto my Lord. And Jesus is our Lord, just as each husband is the Lord of his family. So, you know, we all know where Brother Vail was coming from, but see, others can't understand. They don't understand English. Lord is not God. Lord is an office. It's a master. It's a rulership, but it's not God. All right, it's not an object of worship. Now notice, he gave the fivefold for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. That's the building up of the body. You see, and how it will come, till we all come in the unity of the faith, not just faith, but the faith, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we come in the unity of the revelation that is not, and that's not possible except for, he says, and the knowledge of the Son of God. So if you have not the knowledge of the Son of God, you'll never understand, you'll never have a unity in the faith, you'll never understand the faith or the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right? Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, how are you going to come to the stature of the fullness of Christ if you don't know, you have no understanding of the knowledge of the Son of God? So we have to have a pattern. And that pattern was Christ himself, you see. In other words, all that he was, we become. Not that the fullness of the Godhead is in the bride. Brother Brown never taught that. He said that there was, the fullness of the Godhead was only in one person, and that was Jesus Christ. He said, even in himself, he said, I just have a measure. And he said, we have a measure. But if Christ is the head of the body, then the body has the fullness because Christ is the head of that body. If we look at it in that term, we're correct. All right, that Christ is the head, therefore we do have the fullness, but only in that he is the head of the body. But notice that the main purpose of the fivefold ministry is to bring the seed to full maturity. And that's what also the latter rain is supposed to do. So I believe, and since I am not vindicated, I can't be wrong. But what I see in this is that the watering, a rain that the fivefold ministry will teach, will bring the maturity to the seed of God, and it will produce the fruit that the husbandman long waiteth for. Notice Paul says in the next verse about the fivefold, he says, that we henceforth be no more children. Well, if we're no more children, then we're fully mature, right? Not tossed about to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So notice he's talking about growing up into him, which means we become like him or conform to his image. And Paul is letting us know that this will come through a teaching ministry of the fivefold. As Brother Vail said, it doesn't matter if you're pastor, evangelist, apostle, prophet, whatever you are in this hour. As a fivefold ministry, the anointing is that the teacher himself, which is not, look, Brother Vail is not the teacher. Let me get it straight. The teacher is the Holy Ghost. And Brother Vail said, if you say that, this man is the teacher, he said, your motive's wrong. He said, the teacher is the Holy Ghost. And as Brother Vail said to me, he said, people are saying when I'm gone, the teaching is going to be over. He said, that's an error. He said, the Holy Ghost is the teacher, and as long as he's here, there will be teaching. You see? So no man is the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. All right? And as long as that man yields himself to the Holy Spirit and teaches what the Holy Spirit brought in this hour, then he's a teacher of God. Now, notice then that we may grow up into him, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's all he's talking about is increasing and growing up and coming to full maturity under this reign, this latter reign, which is the fivefold ministry. Now, So Brother Branham says in paragraph 6, he says, someone asked me to repeat that Hebrew word again in Joel the second chapter, where he's speaking of the coming of the former and latter rain. The word former is the Hebrew word M-O-U-R-E-H, mora, which means teaching. In other words, it'll be a teaching rain and a harvest rain. Now we've had the teaching rain and we're ready now for the harvest rain. So if he says we're ready now for the harvest rain, that tells me that the teaching rain has come, but the harvest rain had not yet come. All right. So, and of course, we know from Brother Branham telling us that, there was three seeds that went out, three sowings went out, the organizational and the Word of God, the million more in 44, and then we have the bride seed. Then Brother Brown says, the first rain is when you plant the seed. That starts your crop growing. Then just before it matures, there must come another crop. That's what they call the harvest rain. We know it is the spring rain, and then the rain's about June. It makes your crop. So he points us to Joel 2:23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. Brother Brown taught us that when Zion is mentioned in the scripture, it refers to the bride. So we're told here to be glad then and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. You see, moderately. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. Notice then, we have that the former rain is moderately. You cannot find one sermon where Brother Branham went into full detail about the Godhead. you get a piece here, you get a piece here, you get a little information here, a factual point here. He calls it duality. Another place he says Jesus was not one like your fingers, one with God. Over here he talks about, you know, Jesus had a beginning, you know, and Melchizedek had no beginning. And he gives you a little bit, you know, it's a moderately. It's done, you know, in moderation. and the word moderately means being within reasonable limits, not excessive or extreme, but mild or calm or temperate. And you know, Brother Branham was very calm, very temperate in all things. And if you will turn in your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy 32, verse 2, God says himself, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." So the fact is that God's doctrine, which is his teaching, shall fall as the rain. So we see then that you have a former rain, which is teaching rain. Then the latter rain is also a teaching rain, but not in moderation. Not in moderation. Now look, the rain that falls in the springtime is the same H2O that falls in the June. Right? There's no difference, although the June drops are much bigger. You know, it's like, you know, you get the big drops and the big, you know, because the warm air and all that collects and it just comes down, bigger drops, a lot more of it. It's not in moderation. So it's the same teaching, only not in moderation. Okay? And so from paragraph 95 of the Spoken Word's original seed, Brother Bram said, a real seed of God is an absorbent seed. He's an absorbent for the Spirit. I like that. All denominationals took out, all unbelief is out, and when the Holy Spirit comes into that germ of life that's laying there, it produces another seed, just exactly. Another son of God is born, amen. Another amateur God, a son of God. I like that. Now, also from "Hear Ye Him," Brother Bram says, you people here in the country that grows apple, you're apple raisers, I understand, you have a lot of agriculture raising fruit. You know that when that little apple tree is just about, half an inch high, that every bushel of apples that will ever come off of that tree is in it right then. You know, every 100 pounds of leaves that will ever fall from that tree is in it right then. Every blossom is in it right then. Every branch is in it right then. If it isn't, then tell me, where did it come from? Where is it at? Where does it come from? What do? You take the seed and you plant it. The little tree comes up and is planted, and you have to keep it. You have to keep watering it. It has to drink more than its portion. It has to drink and drink and drink so much till it pushes out. And it'll push out limbs, it'll push out leaves, it'll push out apples. It's in it, but it has to keep drinking. And every word of God is a seed, and if that seed can be planted by the inexhaustible fountain of life, which is Christ, the believer has to drink beyond his imagination, drink and push out everything that you need of, because it's in you when you receive Christ. And we are planted together in Christ, and he is the inexhaustible fountain of life. So what then brings out the leaves, brings out the fruit? It's the teaching. It's the same word, but more and more and more and more. You just get hammered with teaching. It's not like back when the first rain, the teaching rain went out, but it was in moderation. There's a lot of worship, there's a lot of song, there's a lot of Pentecostal experience. But now it's teaching, teaching, teaching. It's rain, rain, rain. There's no moderation. There's no lack of excess. There's no lack of extreme. It's extreme teaching is what's going on. So not only rain, but lots of it, is what is needed to produce the crop. And that is why there must be a latter rain. And we see that God identifies his doctrine as the rain. Then I want you to notice that the first rain, or Mora, the teaching rain, brought forth the doctrine of Christ to the world. And it is the doctrine, and receiving the doctrine, that showed the difference between the three sowers of the seed. Only one sowed the true doctrine of the word, and that is the doctrine of Christ. But remember, it was sown to all the world, but it was done in moderation. Brother Branham was hampered because a lot of places he went, he said, I can't teach doctrine out there. You see? And then he had men that were with him in the early years, where when Brother Branham would start to teach doctrine, the people would kind of get angry, the ministers get angry, so he'd turn it over and have another man preach. And so they wouldn't preach doctrine. You know, Brother Branham would just get up there and he'd do it, but when he got home, he'd go into a little bit more specifics on predestination. He even said, I can't use the word predestination out on the field. It offends people. You see? So the former rain went forth moderately. Now, but the latter rain contains the same water, the same rain, the same teaching, only in a greater measure. Not that we have a word directly from God, as if we got something, you know, great. We're teaching what was taught. We're giving back the same revelation that was given to us in moderation, but now it's being given in a greater measure, in an extreme, if you want to call it that, an extreme measure. As I've always said, even about Brother Vale, I said, you know, most people, you know, if you ask them to paint a stop sign, it would be, you know, red, rectangular, with little white letters and little white trim on around it. But if Brother Vale were to, you know, put up a stop sign, it'd be like the size of a barn. It'd be in probably purple with orange letters, you know. In other words, Brother Vale had a way of just really, really pointing things out and magnifying. So that's in a sense, an extreme teaching. Or as Brother Branham called him, a profound teacher. All right? So that's what we're into, is the profound teaching. Not that Brother Vale is the only one who's teaching, because the word has gone out. And from those who've been faithfully taught, it's gone out, it's gone around the world. And I know there's many brothers who are teaching the same thing. In fact, if you notice, an echo, you know, he that hath the Son hath life, or he that hath the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. And the word hath is echo. So you're echoing both the Father, you're echoing both the Son. And we see in this day now, there's hundreds of ministers around the world who are actually teaching, who are actually watering with the same water. So instead of one man going out and sowing, you know, the Son of Man going out and sowing that seed, now there's hundreds that are sowing the same, watering the same water. Okay? So now you can see it's not in moderation anymore. It's in a profound way. Now, so I want you to understand then that the Mora rain, the teaching rain, brought forth the doctrine of Christ to the world. And it's the doctrine and receiving the doctrine that showed the difference between the three sowers of seed. Only one sowed the true doctrine of the word, and that is the doctrine of Christ. But remember, it was sown into all the world, but it was done in moderation. Brother Brown did not go forth into great depth and detail on the doctrine of Christ, and because it was sown moderately, many have missed it. But now, if the former rain was a teaching rain, and the latter rain is the rain that which brings the harvest, I want you to notice it is still rain. Both the former and latter rain are rain. It's doctrine. Just one was a little more moderately given than the other. And yet rain is doctrine according to God. So the latter rain must be also doctrine that comes, but it is not held back. It comes in all its fury, and the gates of heaven open up, and the fivefold ministry sweep the doctrine of Christ, the rain, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a place that the people are getting pretty soaked up. And as the rain keeps pouring forth, the planting of the Lord keeps soaking it up, and it's producing sons of God in the image of the Son of God. Now in James 5 and verse 7 we read, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the parousia, the presence of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receives the early and the latter rain." Now in this verse it tells us a whole lot about the end time. First of all, we're told that this will be a time of patience, when much patience is needed. Notice the word, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the parousia of the Lord." So this tells us that there's coming a presence of the Lord, and we will need much patience at the time of this presence, because certain events will take place what seems to be ages to transpire. And yet it will only be over the course of one complete generation. Then he said, "Behold," which means look and see, be observant at this time of the presence, for the husbandman will have to wait for the precious fruit of the earth, and will have long patience for it. So we see this also speaks of an attribute of waiting that the Lord who is present will have at this time. Now the fact is that it suggests to us that the Lord will have long patience for this fruit is because it spans two complete reigns, the early and the latter. It says the husbandman, which is the one who does the sowing and takes care of the pruning and whatever care that the planting needs, and it says that he will have long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. So we see then there has to be two rains, and that will span the time of the parousia presence of the Lord, and the fruit will not come up until after the latter rain, or the latter of the two rains. Therefore, it is important for us to understand what these two reigns mean according to the Word of God. In Zechariah 10 and 1, it says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. Now notice then that there is to be a rain at the time of the latter rain, and this rain is to produce the fruit for the season. In Proverbs 16 and verse 15, we read, in the light of the king's countenance, that's his presence, is life. And his favor is as a cloud, not just clouds, but a cloud of the latter rain. Now there's only one a cloud, and that's that cloud that we saw there. Now in James, he says, now at the end time, he said there'll be clouds of witnesses without water. Well, what's that? Clouds without water. Paul calls them clouds of witnesses, so we know clouds represents witnesses. Those witnesses came down, they testified to the seals, and the seals were open. But notice Paul called those false believers clouds without water, clouds without doctrine. You see, they're witnesses. I am a witness, but they're a witness without doctrine. You see, and they feast with you at your table. All right. But God has come down in this hour to show us his favor toward us. And that is what this picture is all about, to show us that he is here to deliver us from what is to come on the earth for those who have rejected his word. And Peter speaks of this grace, of this unveiling, this apocalypse that would come, as did the Apostle Paul also speaks of it. And so we go to 1 Peter 1 verse 13. Notice Peter says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Now, you gird up your loins when you're getting ready to run a race, right? You're getting to move out. You're getting ready because the word's just going to come bam, 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 bam. The rain's going to come not moderately this time. It's going to come and just really like gushers. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So there's going to be a special endowment of grace that's going to sweep the people over at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 3, Paul says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched. Now the word enrich is like, you enrich the soil. It's like putting fertilizer. And the reason why we put fertilizer in the soil is to make it grow from a seed to a fully mature plant. You see, you want to give it all the nourishment that it needs. And so Paul says that in everything you are enriched in all knowledge. Now that word knowledge is a Greek word. He says in all knowledge. That word knowledge is the word gnosko. He says, enrich in all utterance, that word is logos, and in all knowledge. So we see then there's got to be a knowledge and the word coming forth that is our grace, that is our enrichment, that is our fertilizer, all right, that takes us up. Now, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed, that word confirmed means established in you, so that you come behind in no gift. The word gift there from a Greek word charisma, and it means endowment, like a mental endowment. And when we speak of someone being endowed, we usually speak that we call them gifted. And, we talk about brilliance. Therefore, I want you to understand that this grace is to bring forth a special understanding, waiting for the coming, the apocalypse, which is the revealing or manifestation of the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we... and then he says, who shall also confirm, that means to establish you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that you all have the same mind. So how could you all speak the same thing except for you have the same thoughts? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if you're all going to speak the same thing, it's because you have the same word, the same glory, the same opinion, the same value, the same judgment. Now, how can we all say the same thing unless we say what he said? As Brother Ram said, just say what's on the tapes. And understand what he said. Because if several people hear the same thing but do not understand what was said, they will all have their own idea of what was said, and in turn they will say what they think they heard. But if we all have the same mind, then we will all say the same thing, and that is exactly what Paul is alluding to here. Notice, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Well, if we're joined in the same mind, we're going to say the same thing. There's not going to be any divisions among us. Because the only way that you can all be in agreement is that you all have the same understanding. In other words, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Now, in closing, we'll go back to Job 29, verse 23. And they waited for me as the rain, and they opened their mouth wide for the latter rain. What I see in this verse, the scripture, is that there was a period of waiting for the latter rain, but when it did come, they opened their mouth wide to drink in as much as possible. And Brother Bram said, when that word is, you know, that water, 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 he says, pop, 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 pop. You know, pop out goes the limb, pop out goes the fruit, pop out goes this, you know. So we see that it takes a lot of water to produce, because all the seed, all the attributes of the original seed are already in you by the new birth. It takes the teaching then to bring into manifestation. And in closing, Deuteronomy 11, verse 14, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy wheat, thy wine, and thine oil. And Wednesday night, we're going to get into this wheat, wine, and oil. But all right, now we're coming to the place where we're getting some sort of description as to what the latter rain will produce. He said it is for the harvest, so that there might be a gathering together of the wheat, of the wine, and of the oil. So we're looking at the harvest rain that will produce wheat, produce wine, produce oil. And now hold these thoughts in your mind, and Wednesday night we're going to pick up from here. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the former rain, which was the mora, which the Son of Man went forth sowing. And we see in the parable in Matthew 13 that the other man dressed in black went behind, in not in his field, but in the field that was owned by the Son of Man, because he was the owner of the field. And the Son of Man went forth sowing children of the kingdom, the word of God, it says in Mark. And yet we see that the other one went forth sowing organization, because those tares would grow up and they would be bound into bundles. And that word bound, we know, Father, means to be placed under obligation. And so we see that they would denominate, because you can't bind a little seed of wheat. We take rubber bands all day long and try to string up a whole pile of little wheat seeds, but it'll never be bound by any system. But we can see that the tares are all about the same height, the same width, and they're all going in the same direction, because you can't bind a pile, but you can bind things that are going in the same direction. So their direction is all the same, and it's organization. And so, Lord, we see that there's the two seeds, and actually within the other organizational seed, we see there's a full extreme from a Pentecostal to evangelical. And, Father, we see it, but there's only one that will be gathered, not bound, and not put under fear, but they will be gathered together into your garner. And, Lord, we recognize that this cannot be done until there's a full, complete conformity to the image of the firstborn son, and you'll have children, sons and daughters of God, that will be ready for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. As Brother Vail said years ago, can you imagine if we had the redempted body right now? We could travel like a thought, we could cause a lot of havoc, but until we have the mind of Christ, you won't allow us to have that fully redemptive body. And so, Lord, we're thankful, because we would be doing things outside your plan. But help us, Father, between now and the time of the resurrection. Could be this spring yet, we don't know, but we're looking for it every spring. But Father, we just pray that you would help us to come to the place of obedience, to where we would be like the Son of God, who said the Son can do nothing but what the Father has showed him to do. The Son, the things that I speak, the Father commanded me what to say. I have no doctrine but the doctrine of him that sent me. And I did not come to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And so, Father, help us to step aside from our own will, our own teaching, our own doctrine, Lord, our own acts of the flesh, and things that we say, Father. And may we just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, help us, Lord, to think on these things. And help us, Father, not to let just idle words drip from our lips. But Lord, as James said, let us not have both salt water and clean, purified water. But Father, help us to have just the pure water of the washing of water by the word. May our words be so refreshing, Father, such wonderful water that as the Spirit and the Bride would say, let all come and drink freely from this fountain. And so, Father, thank you for allowing us to tap into your fountain. And, Father, we just pray for the fivefold ministry, your true fivefold ministry, wherever they would be, that they would continue to teach and teach and teach and teach and teach and just water, 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 water until your children grow up in the full stature and conformity to the firstborn son. And we ask these things in the precious name of that firstborn son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious.